Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Welcome back to the Raw Islam Podcast. Tonight we are here. It is Tuesday. It is the East Coast. It is past 8 o'clock, so it must be time for the Raw Islam Podcast. We are coming to you live from Washington, D.C. and live from Florida because we are covering the entire East Coast except for New England because we don't go that high. But we are here, and I know we have viewers in New England, and they'll join us here eventually. But we are here for another mind-bending, life-altering episode of the Raw Islam Podcast. And tonight, we are getting ready, we are gearing up, because we're going to be talking about what's coming around the corner very, very, very soon. We're talking about some things about Ramadan, because it is almost that time. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the hardest working imam that I know, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Greetings of peace to our listeners across the world, to those creations up in space that we have not yet introduced ourselves to. Carl's having a laugh on that one. To all those who are listening to us on Facebook Live and to all those who will be listening via podcast, we welcome you to another episode of Raw Islam on the first day of May 2018. You notice, the time is getting a bit delayed, and that is due to the evening prayer, the Maghrib prayer, which kind of finishes around 8:15. So we apologize for that delay, but we will keep you posted on the schedule when it comes to Ramadan. Tonight's title is very interesting. Carl put it out there. You could read it. And we're talking about there's three different ways or three distinct ways that you and I speak or hear the word Ramadan. So you have number one, the ramen noodle type, Carl, and those are the Ramdans. So you guys are fasting in Ramadan. So you have the Ramdans. Then you have the Indo-Pak culture that calls it Ramzan with a Z. Everything has a Z in it, like Fajr and Zohar and Asr and Maghrib and Isa. So there's those Z ones. And then you have the ones who want to ensure that every letter is pronounced with Tajweed. And Tajweed is the art of pronunciation in Arabic. Hence, they will make the Baad very distinct by saying Ramadan. We pointed this out as part of the title because it's not the name that we want to talk about tonight, rather the condition and state of people when it comes to this blessed month. Before we go into the condition and state of people, Carl, which one of the pronunciations do you prescribe to? Is it Ramadan, like ramen noodles, or is it Ramadan, or is it Ramzan? Which one do you prescribe to?
I am a Ramadan kind of guy. That's where I sit. I am not a ramen noodles kind of person, and I get confused when I see things spelt with a Z, because as a non-native Arabic speaker, and I see things spelt with a Z, I get very confused. I get very lost. I know I have a guy that I work with. His name is Ridwan. But depending on where they come from, some people spell it with a Z. And it really confuses me. So I am a Ramadan kind of guy. And we have... And as I say that, we have our first comment on Facebook from Brother Sharif. You will forgive me if I do not pronounce your first name because I don't want to butcher it. But as I'm looking at the first comment on Facebook tonight, it's Ramazan.
Ramazan. And again, it's interesting because, you know, the Arab-speaking community, and please forgive me beforehand, you got the Egyptian community where you may find people who are very particular about the pronunciation of certain Arabic words such as Ramadan. But when it comes to masjid, they say masjid. So the jim becomes a ga when that is actually a jim in the pronunciation of tajweed. In a similar fashion, in the Palestinian territories, some of them use the ch word for a kaf. So instead of saying kif halak, they say chif halak. But again, when it comes to Ramadan, you'll see the emphasis laid on the pronunciation of the word. Again, it's interesting because it's nice to step back and just kind of analyze and see how everyone is saying the same word, but in a different way. But again, as I said, Carl, that's just the least of our concerns. The main concern that I want to talk about tonight is I was in New Jersey this weekend, walked into the masjid where I do my monthly programs, and below the main screen in the front door was a timer, Carl. Like, you know, one of those countdown timers. Had the days, the hours, the minutes, the seconds. And I'll ask you, Carl, what do you think they were counting down?
I can almost guarantee you they were counting down to Ramazan. See, I feel bad. I got to make it up for Brother Sharif here. Thank you for joining us, Brother Sharif. I feel bad. But yeah, and I know that that's what they were doing because I myself was actually coding one. Well, I didn't do the actual coding for a website recently. So yes, they were. It was a countdown to Ramazan, Ramadan, ramen noodles.
Ramen noodles. So I want to address the Muslim community tonight specifically. We always engage with our non-Muslim community and every human being that interacts with us. And we're happy for your engagements and involvement in our show. The questions that you pose during the show and the emails that you sent to us when you do download the podcast on Google Play or iTunes. But tonight we have to talk about something serious, Carl. When I walked into the mosque, and I saw that there was like 18 days or 16 days left, whatever it was, my heart kind of sank because, you know, sometimes when someone keeps on telling you, Carl, 5 minutes, Carl, 3 minutes, Carl, 2 minutes and 22 seconds, Carl, 1 minute and 11 seconds, Carl, 36 seconds. What goes through your mind? I'm not going to tell you what goes through my mind, but what goes through your mind? If someone was doing that, especially if it was, for example, you're playing a game of chess or you're playing Jenga. I think Jenga is the best example. And you're just trying to pull out that block, not knowing you're going to drop everything possibly. But someone keeps on reminding you the time. How would you feel at that moment? I want to ask that to our listeners and to you too, Carl. What would you feel at that moment?
You're looking for 14 days, 3 hours, 23 minutes and 54 seconds until Ramadan is upon us. But, cause I looked at the counter that I was working with.
I saw that.
And, and it is stressful. It
Thank
is stressful.
You.
It causes stress. And I will tell you that as a, especially, and I know this is my military training where it's mm-hmm. like, if you know something's coming up, be ready for it. If you're meeting, and I will tell you that my first experience with this was when I went out west. I was in uh-huh. Seattle for a meeting. I was out there for a week for training, and East Coast, New England, military trained. When somebody says that the meeting is at 9 o'clock, you're in the seat at 8:55.
Uh-huh.
And when I was in Seattle at 8:55 for the 9 o'clock meeting, I was there. I was ready. And then 9 o'clock rolled around. And then 9:05 rolled around. And 9:10, people started to show up with their coffee because it's the West Coast and people are cool and laid back. And I realized that I live on the wrong coast.
Well, see, you are doing what's right, and that what's the discipline, what a good human being that understands the importance of discipline of time would do. Although there's articles written of people who are late, there may be something different about them, positive, not negative. But the stress factor is actually dawning on many when you're constantly reminded. When you're constantly reminded through social media or emails, it may be Islamic websites that are sending you emails and they're telling you there's like 2 weeks to go to Ramadan and there's a few days to go to Ramadan. It doesn't make you feel any better. And I agree with Carl on that. It's really stressful. And at that time, I noticed that there are three types of people. The number one is the one we'll just point out. We all know across the board. The one that is a systematic Muslim that knows that as soon as Ramadan starts, okay, we're fasting, we're waking up 5 in the morning, we're starting at 5:30, we're breaking our fast at 8 o'clock, and we're going to go Tarawih at 9:30, we're going to pray from 10 to 11:30, we're coming home and going to sleep by 12:30. You know, the robot Muslim. And again, no criticism intended here. Good stuff. You're sticking to a schedule. You're sticking to your regimen. You're doing your stuff, which is perfectly amazing. But by the end of the 30 days, what you can accomplish is that there was a consistency of waking up in the morning, doing your prayers, eating your pre-dawn meal, going to work, coming home, breaking fast, going to mosque, a consistency. It looks beautiful, Carl. It's like a real good work of art that has all, like, you know, if it was an essay or a resume, like has all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted. It looks perfectly fine. But Carl, that's a type of work that I can't do. You know, I can't do that. I'm going to have inconsistency in my work. So all due respect to those who are like military style regimen Muslims that know how to click on and click off. You know, the day Eid is done, then the next morning, they're not going to wake up at 5, wake up at 5:30, 6 o'clock, do their prayer and go on with their lives. But the thing is, that's the regimen Muslim. The second type of Muslim is the party Muslim. So, Carl, have you heard of people that now celebrate at funerals? There's a party at funerals, like where now we say we celebrate that person's life. It went on from saying, you know what, why mourn the loss of an individual? Because they would have wanted that we celebrate their accomplishments. So we went from celebrating their accomplishments and celebrating their life and celebrating their legacy to making a funeral a celebration. So you go to a wake or anywhere else, it's like there's drinks, there's coffee, there's people talking, there's seldomly anyone praying, people are more socializing. Hey, we're catching up, we haven't seen each other for a long time. So what's happening now is that as we have given a total facelift to certain practices, just like I would assume Christmas, the way it was celebrated back in the days and the way it's celebrated now, the way we mourned in funerals to how we celebrate and socialize now, there has been a 180 degree change. In the same fashion, the Ramadan month for some is no longer a priority of fasting and praying and voluntary devotion and reading Quran. It's more about how many dinners we're going to go to, how many dresses and how many suits and how many kurta shalwars or how many jubas we need and how many different garments we need to adorn ourselves with and how many different places we need to go and how many different places we need to feed. It's all about that. So Ramadan's going to be done for them also. There's going to be a beginning and an end. And then there's going to be a look back at this that, you know, we accomplished a lot of social interaction, but the substance of Ramadan is missing. Carl, have you noticed that on your end where it's just like a celebration? Ramadan is a celebration month more than anything else.
I get exactly what you're saying, and I know those people, and I'm in that atmosphere. I mean, I'm very comfortable in just saying that I know, you know, Ramadan, like we said, you know, it's 15 days away, 14 days and some change. But I can tell you that in the last week, my Facebook events has just started just pop. Hey, iftar, 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 iftar. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yo, you know, when is the quiet time? When is the reflection time? When is the, you know, and, you know, the other thing I'll say, and I know it may make me sound like a bad Muslim, but mashallah to these brothers and sisters that can do tarawiyah after work and then get up for suhoor in the morning and then continue on with their day. Mashallah. I don't have the capacity physically to do that. And so and I've been, I think it was last year maybe, I went out to an iftar. We got to see people we don't normally see. It was a little bit of a celebration, kind of a you know, maybe it's an Americanized thing. Maybe it's an Americanized tradition because it's becoming more like the 4th of July cookout where they hang out and they meet and they eat. And then people leave and then go to Tarawih. And then you'll get text, hey, man, come on out. We're going to Sahur at this place. And it's like, yo, I got work in the morning, dog. I ain't getting up for that.
Well, you talk about the 4th of July concept. It's like a 4th of July every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Or for some communities, almost every day of 30 days of Ramadan. So when you look at the two different scenarios that are presented, you got the extreme focused regiment style Ramadan, and then you got the opposite extreme that's all parties and social events and feeding, and it's all in the name of good. Don't take me wrong on that. But then there's a third category, and that's the Muslim that looks from the outside and says, there's 13 days left. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to prepare. And then you got these mega speeches about all the virtues of Ramadan. And then you got those conferences or seminars about the do's and don'ts in Ramadan. And then you have me saying, you know what? I don't think I could do this because I'm seeing a regiment style Ramadan. And then I see a party style Ramadan and I'm confused in between the two of those. And that's the territory that I want to connect with, because sometimes you feel there. Like, you know what? You're traveling. There's people who are traveling during Ramadan. Last year, I traveled 27 of the 30 days of Ramadan. I was even home. And so the thing is that when you're traveling, when you're sick, when you're restricted to a schedule that is strenuous, especially during that month, how do you fit in? Carl, that's the crowd we want to talk about. As I started off by talking about, there's Ramadan, there's Ramadan, and there's Ramzan. It's irrelevant how you say it because you know what you're trying to mean. But when we talk about the Ramadan month itself, the people are going to get through it, inshallah. You know, we're going to get through it one way or the other. But I believe that Ramadan is a 30-day regimen of work that you celebrate upon the breaking of the fast, which is Eid, the day that you wake up, that you don't fast anymore. That's the day that you graduate. So that's the real party. But if you party every single weekend or every weekend three times, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or you party 7 days. Now, when I say party, don't take me wrong. There's no, like, there's no DJ Khaled in the back and there's no, you know, Dabka or Qawwali or stuff. This is just parties and celebrations. I hear the bass. So what happens is that you tell yourself, I could do that without Ramadan. You could go anywhere and party. But when you talk about a person who is so committed and you feel so bad, I can't even finish a Quran. I can't even, forget finishing a Quran, I can't even finish a chapter. Where do I go? So the answer for that today is, Ramadan is a moment of seclusion wherein you can find your soul, wherein you can gain that sense of serenity by small acts of devotion, small acts of devotion. You know what? I can't read the Quran. It's hard for me. So you know what I'm going to do? For 10 minutes, I'm just going to open up and just look at it. Just going to open it up and look at it. I can't pray Tarawih at night. So what I'm going to do is after my Isha prayer, I'm going to pray 2 rakats and maybe 4. If I'm lucky, I'll do 6. If I've never been to the mosque the whole year, I'll try to go on my Fridays. If I don't even go on Fridays in my life, I'll try to go for the last Friday. You know, Carl, what's missing in our Islam is a build-up process. There's either this and there's nothing below that. And the question is that if you're on the 1,001 flight or the 1,001 step and there's no stairway to get there, how are we expecting the ummah to connect? I feel a person who's new to Islam, who's born a Muslim, generation old Muslim, a person who is knowledgeable or not, I think we all can do what I just said. Just seclude ourselves, find our soul, and build that serenity through small acts of worship. So Ramadan's your moment. It's not the community moment. It's not the family reunion. It's not the types of food you eat. And it's not the amount of weight you gain. Because nowadays, Carl, Ramadan's all about how much weight people gain. And they talk about it. You know, they say like in Urdu, forgive me, yaar, yes, Ramadan, humne itna khaya ke bas pet bara ho gaya. Like, we ate so much in Ramadan, my stomach is blown up. And you're happy about that. You're bragging about that. Like, guys, this is not Ramadan. We do not feel Ramadan anymore. It's all superficial. It's all balloons and bells and whistles, but there's no feeling. So I hope that one day I could be a regiment Ramadan Muslim that feels what they're doing, not does what they're supposed to do, but feels what they're doing because they know that it's good for them. But until then, I need to bypass the party time and the social time and just seclude yourself. My advice to the community before I give back to Carl, because I've been talking for too long, is how can I seclude myself from the world? That is my moment. The second I put my phone into the charger and I stick the charger into the wall, it's no longer in my hand. It has to stay here on the top of this little table until I come back when it's 100%. Until then, it's secluded from my hands. My hand is away from it. Ramadan is find yourself. Ramadan is find inner peace. Ramadan is glow with that inner peace. So when you come from the Eid for the Eid prayer, that light emits from your face and body that you have found serenity. If we could just start with that, Carl, that's step 1 to 10 maybe. We got 991 steps to go. But you know what? I think laying 10 steps tonight is better than none. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know what to do first. So my thoughts on that is that the first step is always the most difficult. Mm-hmm. But in order to start a journey towards anything, you have to actually take that first step. So it's important for us, for our iman, for our deen, for who we are and who we say we are. Mm-hmm. Because saying I am a Muslim carries a lot of personal responsibility.
Right.
And in order to make that claim, the first thing you need to do is take that first step towards where you need to be. And granted, there may be 9,000 more, 6,000 more, but you have to take that first step in order to get started on your journey to becoming a better person and a better Muslim and closer to Allah. And before I break into Facebook comments here, you know, for every step you take closer to Allah, you know, he comes back to you to pull you closer. So, and especially in Ramadan, this is when these things are supposed to happen. This is when we're supposed to do our most inward reflection so that our outward work reflects that. Mm-hmm. Now, jumping to our Facebook comments, making it a little bit lighter. Sarah says, Salaam alaikum. She's joining us tonight. Thank you for joining us, Sarah. And Layla had an interesting thing that she added, and she's not wrong because I have heard this, and this is a very Western tradition. But when you were speaking about the parties, you know, you were saying, oh, there's a funeral party now and it's a celebration and things like that. Layla was commenting that I don't even want to call it a new trend anymore because it's been going on for so long. But there are divorce parties where once someone is divorced, they have a big party and they celebrate and woo, my life has changed. And so that is a thing. I know it exists. And I think it's absolutely disgusting that it exists, because while divorce, and this is obviously a total different conversation for another time, but while divorce is legit in Islam, it is also the most disliked thing by Allah. So, you know, to have a party to celebrate something that Allah dislikes so heavily, that's just wrong on so many levels.
Well, Carl, that's I thank her for that comment. And the reality is, everything in our life now is all about parties and celebrations and having fun. It's all about fun. Everything in life is about fun. Work should be fun. School should be fun. Homework should be fun. Doing your chores should be fun. Go outside and have fun. Stay indoor and have fun. If you can't have fun with 70 channels, heck, we'll give you 3,000 channels. Just have fun. If one website's not enough, we'll give you the whole world wide web and just keep on browsing. So it's just fun, fun, fun is seeped into our religion also. And that has made things so different. And Carl, you hit the nail on the head tonight. You know, you made this show what it is tonight, because you talked about, it's about you, right? Ramadan is about you finding your Allah and you making that little bit of effort. It's not about you finding yourself amongst people or you finding yourself at a level that the people may embrace you. If anything, this Ramadan, the only thing you need to do is say, you know what? In order to find myself, or in the pursuit of finding myself, I'm also going to find Allah. And so every small step I take towards that, you go one step, Allah comes multiple steps. You go walking, He comes running. You go handspan, He comes an arm's length. So there is a hadith that tells us to this meaning that Allah is going to come faster to you than you are going to Him, but you have to take that first step. So this Ramadan is about me. It's about my connection to my soul, myself, and my Lord. So we want to thank all our listeners for engaging. And we want to talk about things here in Raw Islam, which is not just contemporary and real, but we want to be inclusive of every Muslim. We talked about those tonight that are getting ready, that are tuning up to jump into this race and finish. And they will, inshallah, by fulfilling all the acts and the prescriptions and the Qurans and the dhikr. There's going to be those who are going to fulfill it by feeding and eating and celebrating and helping, which is great. And then there's those who don't feel that they have a part in either of these cultural phenomenons or the religious practices. You know what? Your field is with you. 1 month about you, the rest of 11 months, we could do what we want. But I'm confident if we were to build this 1 month correctly, then I think our perspective and outlook on how we see ourselves, our life, our religion, our God, and the rest of the world will change drastically. And that doesn't happen by mental exercise. That happens by spiritual enlightenment.
I often forget to turn my mic back on, but anyway.
One more popcorn?
No, because the kids are playing video games and it gets loud. So one more comment from Facebook before we wrap up. Regarding Ramadan, inshallah, Imam, you have an excellent dissertation of looking at what the true meaning of the month ought to be. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you for tuning in and thank you for your comments.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of another episode of the Life Altering. And I hope you understand tonight that it is life altering, because we were talking about Ramadan and your iman and becoming a better Muslim and taking that first step towards being a better Muslim and being a better human being, because there is a responsibility on us as we say La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. There is a responsibility on us to give back to our communities, to give back to our places of worship and our places of work and those in need around us. So we have to take that seriously, and we need to reflect on that in Ramadan. And as we have reached the end of another show, we will say thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for joining us here. Thank you for your comments on Facebook. Thank you for your emails. And don't forget to support the show by getting your Vent Network t-shirt over at ventnetwork.org. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.